Hi, guys. Back on the Young Turks. Anna's with you guys. Sorry, tons of news, obviously, in hour one. We'll get through this as quickly as we can. Kitty Napper says, the White House currently seems to be like Lord of the Flies, childish, but at the same time dangerous. Ben Peck says, so basically, Kushner and Bannon are fighting over who gets to be president. LOL. That's very true, Ben.
I love the infighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colin Trudell says, the Bannon-Kushner rivalry is like a Game of Thrones. We all know how well rivalries turn out in the Red Keep. Good point. Steve Fox says, three delusional chess, the DNC game of porcelain thrones. Okay, and let me read to you guys who donated to the journalism campaign. Eric from Colorado, $50, $100 from Daryl in Arizona, and $250 from Sarah in Michigan. We got nothing but love for you guys. TYTnetwork.com/go. Let's get to 2 million. Let's get to hire a couple more reporters and let them loose. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to start off with a non-political story, kind of something that you would expect from the second hour years ago. But there's a moral to this story, so let's get to it. A viral video has made its rounds on the internet featuring a woman at a Santa Monica restaurant losing her patience with a couple that she felt was displaying too much affection. So let's take a look at her meltdown, and then I'll give you some more background to the story.
You're such an airhead. You're so dumb. You're sexually harassing me. You and that slut.
Well, you are harboring a lot of shit.
I would just like to order.
Well, you shouldn't be here. You're a slut. Go get a hotel room and fuck somewhere else.
Oh my
God. This is not a place for this. You're trying to over-sexualize yourself and be like, I'm the shit. Look, my boyfriend's making out with me. Do you know how uncomfortable and rude you are? You are such a slut.
Yep.
Bye. Can you?
He's more wanted here than you. Leave. You leave.
Okay, so when I first saw that video, I was enraged because, first of all, okay, some people don't like PDA, but that's your opinion. So if you don't like it, just don't watch. And the boyfriend who was filming this whole meltdown posted about it on Reddit to kind of explain what had happened, and apparently they were behind her in line waiting to order, and he was kind of like hugging his girlfriend from behind during the whole
situation.
Oh,
I didn't know they were sluts like that, though.
Okay, and so I don't know what triggered her in the way that she was acting, but my initial reaction was I'm going to be honest, rage, because if look, I put myself in everyone's shoes in all these stories, in order to kind of explain where I'm coming from when I'm commenting on them. And so I thought about standing in line with my husband. We're very affectionate with one another.
Don't I know?
Yeah, almost unbearably so, but we try to keep it.
If you were in a room with her, boy, watch out.
Kill me, right? And so if someone turned around and started calling me a slut, and then started talking about how Christian doesn't belong because he's a foreigner or something, because he's Cuban. I don't know. I would lose my mind. And so I really commend the couple for keeping their cool as this meltdown was occurring. But I looked into the story a little further to kind of understand who this woman is. And I went from feeling rage toward her to then feeling like, oh, man. Okay, but anyway, go ahead.
Okay, all right. Well, now you buried the lead. Now I want to know what her story is. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. So look, can people who do public displays of affection and overdo it be kind of annoying?
Oh, come on.
Okay, yes, the answer is yes. Okay, should you flip out on them in public? No,
Here's what the world needs, okay? We need more love. And so, look, don't get me wrong, right? I'm not like a high schooler waiting in line at Magic Mountain, like making out with my 16-year-old boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
I'm an adult. And so I keep the making out to a minimum and the groping to a minimum.
Right? So are you in Santa Monica doing this business too?
I don't actually do any groping in public. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is, look, I don't know why people get so offended by like hand holding or hugging.
I do.
Why?
I don't get offended by it at all. And yeah, from time to time, I hug my wife and kiss my wife in public. I think it's okay. It's because they have some deep seated problem. They are jealous, okay, and it gets under their skin. And I'm not trying to be overly critical because sometimes I get annoyed too, and I'm not jealous. So like, I don't mean to tar everybody with that, but you know, like if you're lonely and you got this couple that's having fun and kissing you in front of you,
I've been there.
Yeah, and it's gonna get under your skin. Yeah. So the minute I saw that video, I thought, she's got issues, man. I'm at some point, I'm not surprised. I'm going to feel bad for her.
Yes, and so Tim Frisch, who is one of the employees here, was like, "Do you think she's all there?" Like, kind of making me think about my rage before I react on the
libs.
I know, bleeding heart liberals. And so I was like, no. She seems like she's all there. She's just crazy, you know, like she's just mad and bitter and this and that. And then I was like, okay, before I go on air, let me actually look into her a little further because
even find out about her? Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, I did some deep digging.
Well, that's journalism right there. Okay.
Anyway, so she has a troubled past, and there are people who have commented on the story who knew her personally, and they talk about how, you know, somewhere in her early 20s. She like started to snap, and she seemed to have like, you know, delusions and things like that. So it seems like she might, and look, this is speculation because I don't know her personally. She might have some mental health issues and she might need help, and it seems as though she's not getting the help that she needs. Now, with that said, I also found out that she herself is employed as a cam girl. So
a what girl?
A cam girl.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
You're a liar. You know what a cam girl is. They're the women who like do sultry stuff on the camera and get paid for it.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
No, I'm like such a novice. Okay, yes.
So she's a cam girl.
I did not know. No, I really didn't. Okay.
Which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with being a cam girl, but it's just ironic that she was calling this girl in line a slut.
But it's like the oldest thing in the world, and she does the racist thing against the so-called foreigners, right?
Yeah.
Projection, conservative 101. What bothers you, you project out to others.
So look, I think the moral, there are two morals that I want to kind of get out there. Moral number one is just take a step back and think before you react, which is something that I am learning to do. Okay? I'm giving myself a little bit of credit for that. Because you don't know. Like someone might act crazy, but there might be some underlying issue that would make you feel a little empathy for them if you knew them and knew what they're going through. So that's moral number one. Moral number two is, we really need to invest in mental health care in this country, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it needs to stop being a talking point after mass shootings, and it needs to be something that we actually hone in on and allocate real resources to. Because if she does suffer from a mental health illness, first of all, it's extremely expensive to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the appropriate health care coverage or the appropriate resources, you can't get the help that you need. And so my heart breaks for this girl. I like read about her entire history and how she, you know, was this you know, very, very good student who was studying like ocean stuff.
Ocean stuff, okay.
Oceanography, is that what it's called?
I think so.
Yeah, whatever. But
I didn't even know what a camera was, what do I know?
Yeah. So something must have gone wrong, and I feel bad for her now. So
you're such a lib. Okay. Look, I hear you, and this reminds me of that the guy who was singing for Trump and went on a 45, rally tour with him, and then found out that he's going to cut mental health.
Yeah.
And that his son died because of the addiction and those issues, and was disgruntled. So, okay, I'm with you. Look, I get my dander up too. So if somebody was telling me stuff like that, I think I, 50-50 chance that I would not have reacted well. Not anything physical. I just would have said some things that were hurtful to her.
Right, especially if someone's attacking your wife and calling her a slut.
Yes. There's a good chance that the hurtful words would have been exchanged, and I'm kind of good at that, so it could have dug deep, right? But I shouldn't do that, and this is a good story to remind me of that, because really, and I've told my kids this too, when you have a bully, there's almost always because they're actually sad inside.
Yes. Absolutely.
So when you see someone like that, I know it's kind of funny in the beginning, and if you were there, it wouldn't be funny at all. You'd be enraged. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we don't know if she has mental health issues. We also want to be fair to her. Maybe she's perfectly fine, and she just likes being belligerent and likes being a cam girl and all that stuff.
Yeah.
but thinks hugging is a sluttish thing to do. I don't know. We don't know, right? We're not her doctors. But if she needs help, then I hope she gets it, and maybe this is a good moment for her to realize that. And and I hope that we all, can be a society that instead of shunning people, actually help them.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, moving on to some other news. The husband of an avid Trump supporter has officially been deported to Mexico. Now, this was a story that was covered in headlines fairly recently, and the man who has been deported was kind of in limbo. It was kind of unclear as to whether or not ICE officials would literally deport him to Mexico, even though he's been in the United States for nearly 2 decades, and he was a successful business owner. So by every sense that you can imagine, he was a great citizen, the kind of person that Trump said he wouldn't touch, right? Well, Trump did go after him. At least ICE under the Trump administration went after him. And I think the most interesting component of this story is the fact that his wife was not only a Trump supporter, but was very supportive of Trump's tough talk in regard to deporting undocumented immigrants.
Oh, come on.
So let me give you some more details. The man's name is Roberto, and he's been in custody since he was detained on February 6th during a routine check-in with US Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers. So let me elaborate on that a little bit. So apparently every year, because he was a business owner, he would check in with officials and they, acknowledged that he was here. He even had a social security number. He had the ability to be here as long as he kind of kept officials up to date about what he was doing. Now, he's doing his routine annual check-in, and ICE officials are like, we're snatching you up. Snatch you, okay? After spending almost 2 months in detention centers across 6 states, the Indiana resident was suddenly taken alone to Juarez, Mexico late Tuesday night. He said in a statement released by his attorneys who had filed legal petitions requesting his release. Now, Roberto also said, they told me to get my stuff. They put me in the back of a van and sped toward the border. I asked to speak with my attorney, but was told there wasn't time for that. At around 10 p.m., I was dropped off at the Mexican-US border and walked into Mexico. Keep in mind, he's been in the US for nearly 2 decades. And so he knows nothing in Mexico. He has no money, he has no resources, he has no nothing, and they just drop him off there.
Yeah. Well, look, we did a poll on this, and you can still participate. There's a lot of people voted on it. TYTnetwork.com/remorse. Should we have remorse for this woman who voted for Trump, proudly so, but her husband wound up being deported? Well, it's hard, man. It's, the lib in me wants to have some sort of sympathy for her, because, man, if you got just dropped off in what is now a foreign country to him, he hasn't been there in decades and decades, and you can't see your 4 kids anymore, and now we're asking if you have sympathy for her. Mm-hmm. She's the one that made it happen. But it's hard, man. It's hard to have sympathy because you thought, well, I want to pick on other people, and oh no, golly gee, I didn't think you'd pick on me. Well, then sad day for you. And plus, you're pretty stupid. Well, look, I'm getting mean, but it's true that you thought, oh, my husband is undocumented. Yeah. We check in with ICE. We know how undocumented he is. But I'll be saying, why? Is Trump your buddy? Is that what you think? Like, no, Trump doesn't like your husband.
Yeah.
He told you over and over and over again. You thought, no, he doesn't like the dirty, the wrong Latinos, the bad guy Latinos.
But what is
that? But it's my husband.
Okay, and so look, the reason why I have no sympathy for her, I have sympathy for him. I have no sympathy for her because of the fact that she fits the description of a Trump supporter who has this superiority complex. And a lot of them do. A lot of them who are now experiencing buyer's remorse thought during the election, well, I'm superior compared to all the other people that he's saying these terrible things about. Yeah, he's saying, pretty disgraceful things about my demographic, but he's not talking about me because I'm better than everyone else in this demographic, right? Let me give you her statement. Graphic 5. Trump did say the good people would not be deported. The good people would be checked. Okay, so I know that you think your husband is a good person. I think your husband is a good person. I think the vast majority of undocumented immigrants here in the United States are actually good people, right? But by definition, by being here and being undocumented, they're considered criminals for the Trump administration.
Yeah, I'm not asking for much. I'm just asking you not to cry about it. because you voted for it, you asked for it. We told you be careful what you wish for. Mm-hmm. You didn't listen to us. You thought we were libs who were trying to trick you. Well, guess who it turns out was trying to trick you? It was the guy you voted for. So just don't cry about it now. And by the way, you think she's learned? I bet you she votes Republican the rest of her life.
I don't care if she votes Republican, right? Because Republican, Democrat, who cares? What I care about is policy.
Right? I know, but and the Republicans will deport your husband every time. You think it's just Trump? They're going to deport your husband every time. And like a schmuck, you're going to vote for them and then go, oh, boo-hoo, I didn't know they were going to do it to me. I thought they were just going to do it to people I hate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a good answer. And
looks like you have no sympathy for her.
No, I don't. At first I did, but now I'm pissed. And so the second round of crying maybe is what took me over the top. So they were supposed to have legal proceedings, and they had lawyers, and they're in court. And it turns out Trump doesn't give a damn about court.
Right.
And ICE snatched him up, and before the judge could rule, they already threw him out to Mexico.
Right.
And they're like, what? I thought there was going to be... No, but Trump told you he didn't care about any of that. He told you that he doesn't care about judges. He attacked judges from day one. Mm-hmm. And you loved it when you thought it was against other people. Now it turns out, oh, you need a lawyer. Oh, you need a judge. You need a judicial system. You need some sort of fairness and justice. You're like, oh, golly gee, I thought he was just going to be unjust to other people, not to me. Mm-hmm. Mm. Enjoy your crocodile tears.
Damn, cold-blooded, Cenk.
Yeah, no, look,
But I agree with you. I agree with you completely. Yeah. All right, moving on. During the election, Donald Trump secured 80% of the evangelical vote. It was a huge, huge demographic that helped him win the election, which is ironic because based on the things that Donald Trump has both said and done, it seems as though he would go against evangelical morals. However, very recently, there was an evangelical individual who wrote an op-ed in the Christian Post that I want to give a lot of credit to. Even though I don't agree with Marvin Thompson on a lot of things, I have to give him credit for consistency. Here's what he had to say in his piece. He says, consider further what we know about Trump, about his lack of moral compass and his unabashed embrace of it, he wrote, citing Trump's many attacks on women, the disabled, and what he called Trump's contempt for God. He also says, nothing has changed since his election as president, except he now has the power to propagate his warped morality. This power was given to him by the evangelicals.
Very true. 85% of evangelicals, no, I'm sorry, 81% of evangelicals voted for Donald Trump. They had 85% voter turnout, which is shocking. So they all turned out and said, yes, give us the guy who grabs women by their genitals involuntarily. When we said Bill Clinton besmirched the White House, this guy does it without asking for permission. And by the way, has had dozens of affairs that are reported in the press. We said when Bill Clinton did it, we thought it was the worst thing a person could do. We knew this guy did it over and over again. There's stories about how his pregnant wife goes upstairs in the middle of an interview and he tries to sleep with the reporter.
That's insane.
And they put him in the White House. When one of the evangelical leaders, Jerry Falwell Jr., came in and took a picture with Donald Trump in his office while endorsing him, there's a picture of Donald Trump on the cover of Playboy magazine. Now, remember, Falwell's dad famously had a huge fight with Hustler because it was dirty, terrible porn. Meanwhile, there's a porn magazine featuring Trump right behind him as they take the smiling picture. Oh, we don't care about morality anymore. Who cares? We were lying the whole time. Didn't mean it. We just want a guy who's vicious and mean and right wing. And all the other stuff we were saying was totally not true. Now, again, like you said, credit to this guy. He apparently did mean it. We might disagree on the substance,
right?
But at least he's pointing out the hypocrisy.
He's pointing out the hypocrisy, and he's consistent in his ideology and what he considers to be morals, right? Because I think people have different interpretations of what is and isn't moral. And so it's one thing if there was one issue with Trump, like let's say he's a womanizer, that goes against their morals, but they still love a lot of things about him, so they'll support him. With Trump, there's so many things. There's actually this excellent piece done on Facebook. We posted it on the Young Turks Facebook page, where this one brilliant woman actually like lists all the different ways that Trump goes against evangelical morality. Take a look. So here's a little tough love for my religious friends who continue to support Trump. You made an embarrassingly poor choice. Finding excuses for the human Cheeto only makes you look foolish. And then I have to make these videos poking fun of how clownish you look. Homeboy has a bunch of kids from 3 different women. He's constantly boasting about his wealth.
I'm really rich.
He's misogynistic, vain, vengeful, and a host of other immoral things that your religion is supposed to rail against. Oh, she makes so many good points. I mean,
I actually did not see that coming. And I was like, who's this amazing woman that we found?
I don't actually think I'm amazing. I just think it's funny because I made that video earlier this week, and then I came across Marvin Thompson, who, again, even though I don't share his ideology, I have a tremendous amount of respect for, because he's right, right? He's showing the hypocrisy of, you know, Donald Trump's voters, and I think that that's important.
But look, we knew they never cared, that all of it is just a punchline to them. They reelected Desjarlais in Tennessee. He's a Republican congressman that admitted to having his wife and mistress in total have 3 abortions. He claimed to be pro-life. When they asked him, Jesus, man, 3 abortions? He's like, no, but you don't understand. We needed them. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And all those supposed pro-life right-wing voters in Tennessee were like, oh, as long as a right-winger does these abortions and has his mistress get one too, and he's cheated on his wife over and over again, we'll keep on reelecting him because we were kidding. We never meant anything about morality. We're not actually pro-life. We don't actually care about sex. All we want to do is hate liberals, hate the foreigners, hate the others, and hate the gays. And we're just looking for an excuse. And in this case, evangelical Christianity is the vehicle for our hatred. Everything else is just window dressing and marketing.
Yeah. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, more awesome stories, including the current state of tourism in the United States. And also, Rahm Emanuel continues to prove that he is one of the worst people in this country.
Oh, yeah. All right, back on the Young Turks. So you guys are going to love the post game. Common Cause has reacted already. Uh-huh. I will tell you their reaction for the members of the post game. Mm-hmm. It is wonderfully weak sauce. I did them a kindness again, as usual, of telling them ahead of time that I was going to do this, so they were prepared.
Oh, okay. Wow, you did.
Yeah, because I'm a good guy. I know, like, they see me get angry. Uh-huh. I'm angry because all those volunteers worked so hard, and then they got the rug pulled out by underneath them, right? But I've warned them so many times, and they, like, giggled at, oh, what are you going to do? And I was like, okay, well, then let's do it. Let's get it on. And even so, at the end, I said, look, I'm coming on Thursday, mm-hmm. so I'm letting you know, okay? Mm-hmm. So they were apparently prepared. Their reaction in the post game for the members, you will be amused. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member, and I'll fill you in. Let me read some quick tweets. Oni and LeMay say, singing to Anna Kasparian, I'm not going to sing it. What the world needs now, I almost did, is love, sweet love.
It's okay. True, though. Come on.
Okay. Rita Ann says, evangelicals justify their vote by saying God chose them. They absolve themselves from blame. That's a great point, Rita Ann.
How is it acceptable to run around talking about how you're chosen? Like, can you imagine if you do that in any other context? Like, I'm the chosen one. I said I'm better than you once in a video in response to racists, and they, like, lost it. They're like, oh. Feces, wall, like, and they won't get it. That was like a year ago, and they're still commenting about it, right?
Yeah.
But like, evangelicals get to run around talking about how they're the chosen people, and that's okay?
And that their leaders are chosen by God.
No, I can't
deal with
it.
That's just lunatic talk. Okay, Roberto, increased mental health. Roberto Randall says, how can one feel sad for the victim of a con job? Actually, you could feel sad for them, but unfortunately, in this weird con job, their decision didn't just affect their lives, it affected all of our lives.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, now, TYTnetwork.com/go. Laura Lai from California, $27. Thank you. Rita Victoria from Florida, $50. And Sean from Indiana, $127. Thank you. Let's do some more journalism. We're almost at, we're not almost at 2 million, 20 million. You know, Megyn Kelly's salary is around $20 million.
I know, it's very depressing.
Per year.
I know.
We're just asking for 10% of that.
Yeah.
And with that, we're going to hire about a dozen people for years and years. Okay? Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's both sad for the salaries that we're paying, but I mean, you guys can literally hire an army of investigative journalists for 10% of Megyn Kelly's price.
But here's the thing, Megyn Kelly is a victim of high taxes. So after taxes, she probably only makes like around $12 million.
Yeah, she is a victim. Okay, she probably makes more. By the way, yeah. O'Reilly makes $18 million a year. So it's also...
He actually made less than her, a little less?
Well, we're not sure if Megyn Kelly's salary at NBC now is 15, 20, or 25.
Oh, I see.
But most people think it's between 15 and 20. So they're probably right around the same place.
I would be so nervous if I was getting paid $25 million. Uh-huh. Because then you become like a financial burden on the company. Like you might be making money for the company, but like... I don't know. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm too expensive. No, they're going to like find a way to fire me at some point.
No. Look, last quick thing on that, which is that they're like Trump. Trump would borrow so much money from the banks, he would have the leverage. Because if you borrow a little amount of money from the banks, they can crush you. But if you borrow so much that it affects their bottom line, if you default, then you have leverage over them. So guys like O'Reilly make so much money at Fox News, and to be fair to O'Reilly, also bring in so much money that... Then he has leverage over Fox and says, oh, if you get rid of me, well, then you're going to lose all this money that I bring in. So that analogy is not perfect, but you see where I'm going with it. Mm-hmm. So they believe me, they have plenty of leverage. That's how they got that salary in the first place. Jeez. All right, let's go forward.
All right. Chicago's Mayor Rahm Emanuel was recently on CBS This Morning discussing public education in Chicago. And he had a very, very interesting take on whether or not students should be able to graduate from high school. He thinks that there should be one very important requirement, and I have a problem with it. Let's take a look.
So to graduate, starting with the freshman class, you have to have been a letter of acceptance from a college, a letter of acceptance from a community college, a letter of acceptance either from the armed services or a trade, making sure that every high school graduate. We're now getting close to and on track for 87% graduation rate, and it was at one time in the mid-50s. Every high school graduate has a post-high school education plan because the economy requires it, and we want to make sure our kids do not see graduation from high school as the end point, but all of them have a plan, and all of them have a specific acceptance on how to go post-high school education. That is what the economy requires, and that is what they're going to need to succeed in life.
Okay, so before I go on a tirade, I want to point out some of the positive things. Positive thing number one is I think that this comes from good intentions, although Maybe. There could be an underlying agenda, which we'll get to in just a second, that does bother me. There's also a positive component to some of the programs in Chicago. For instance, you will get free community college if you have a B average or better in high school. So sure. That's great. That means that there is at least some effort to make higher education affordable for students who work hard and get good grades. Now let me get to my tirade. Okay, I don't think that politicians understand the amount of resources it takes just to simply apply to college, right? They make it seem like it's so simple. You go to a store, you pay a little bit of money, okay, and someone gives you an acceptance letter. No, it doesn't work that way. Okay, to apply for college, first of all, there's standardized testing that's required. Yeah, if you're going to a four-year institution, for instance, that standardized testing is costly. The study materials for it can run in the thousands of dollars, okay? You have to take prep classes if you want to do well on those standardized tests. So that's one thing. There are application fees. There are so many hidden costs that these politicians are either unaware of or they just don't understand because they're in their own little privileged bubble and they don't understand the struggles of students, right? And also, it's not up to you to tell someone what they should or what they have to do after they graduate. I would love it if everyone had the accessibility and the ability to go to college. I wish everybody wanted to do it, and I hope everyone is successful if they wish to do it. But I'm not going to sit there and force people to either join the military or go to college or do whatever you think is acceptable before they can graduate high school. Did they finish the academic requirements necessary to graduate high school? If they did, they should be able to graduate. That should have nothing to do with post-high school.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I want to first give the good sides of this. Look, I used to tutor and do big brother, big sister kind of stuff at Morningside Heights in New York when I was in law school. And I'd ask the kids, what they wanted to be. And because they don't have good context. They'd say like the one of the kids, the main kid that I tutored, was wanted to be a truck driver. That's fine to be a truck driver, right? Mm-hmm. But I wish that he was a smart kid. I wish he had bigger ambitions, right? And I talked to them about that. But I wasn't going to force him to do anything, right? Well, of course, I'm not the government and I'm not in that position. But like, so I get it. I wish that somebody would tell them that there are bigger things out there. And I think that's a generally noble thing to do. Now, in the past, Rahm Emanuel, when he's done things, we find out later that there were some donors of his who would have profited from the direction that he sent people. Now, to be fair, in this case, I don't have those specifics, and he might mean it with the best of intentions. But the bottom line is, when you look at it, you say, okay, you got to either go to a four-year university, community college, trade school, apprenticeship, internship, or a branch of the armed services, and that's it. Those are your options. Well, a lot of kids are not going to want to go to more school. They're just not going to want to, and they need the high school diploma. What are they going to do? Going to sign up for the military. Then we're going to force all these kids to go, and if you sign up for the military, we're in nonstop wars.
Yep.
And then go and die or get their arms or legs blown off? No. I vote no on this. Look, there's a good and right way to do this. You could spend a lot of money providing counseling to kids and working this through with them voluntarily. Every kid needs to have a counselor talk to them about this and talk about their plans. Great, because you're giving them context they might not have. But if you make them do it, and then the last option is the military, a lot of people are going to choose the military. And if they will choose that voluntarily, God bless, great. But if you're kind of forcing them into it, no, not great.
I have a better idea, actually. Look, counseling is important, okay? I think that every high school should have a counselor or an individual, at least, that helps students navigate what their options are after they graduate high school. I was lucky enough to have a counselor like that, and it was great. He gave me some advice that I didn't agree with, but I, you know, used the advice that applied to me. Now, I think what's more important is to ensure that college is accessible for everyone, right? So they're talking about forcing people to apply and get accepted into colleges. Okay, again, that takes resources, but you know what also takes a lot of resources? Going to that institution, okay? A lot of students don't even think that that's in the future for them because they know that it's so insanely unaffordable right now. So community college, making that affordable, that's nice, it's sweet, but an associate's degree or whatever you get from a community college is not enough. Right? A lot of people want to transfer to a four-year college and get their bachelor's degree. What are you doing? Well, how are you fighting, Rahm Emanuel, to make college more affordable? Yeah. Nothing. You're just forcing these kids to get accepted into institutions that they might not even be able to go to or afford.
Again, I like the community college plan. And it's, you know, for a mayor, I think that maybe it's probably better than a lot of mayors are doing. So credit where credit is due. But I think making this compulsory is a really bad idea. So I think that they should probably rethink that.
Yeah. All right. Final story for you guys. Officials in Russia have decided to ban certain imagery that they have deemed extremist. Now, the imagery mostly pokes fun at Vladimir Putin because it has been altered to make him appear as though he's wearing lipstick. So let's take a look at the image. Extremist.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're so thin-skinned.
They are. Although Putin is alleging that he has no problem with this image.
No, of course.
But you know, if you know politicians pass certain laws, then you know the people have to abide by the law. Now it's a list of extremist materials focusing on content relating to the war in Syria, parody images of Russian officials, including at least one of Putin and Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev in Nazi uniforms. So posting the image of Putin with makeup edited onto his face now carries equal punishment to sharing other extremist images online, a maximum punishment of up to 15 days in prison. That's insane.
Yeah. So this is what a lot of the right-wing authoritarian leaders do. You're not allowed to criticize the dear leader. And if you do caricatures, well, that gets under their skin even more. Mm-hmm. So Erdogan did the same thing in Turkey. Like if you even doodle on his picture, like, oh, it's a national emergency, right? How dare you, the beloved leader must be cherished at all times. It's really gross. In Syria, Michael Isikoff wanted to go interview Bashar al-Assad. There's all sorts of pictures of Assad everywhere, you know, in different outfits, comically in a military outfit, in a businessman outfit, etc. This is all the cult of personality.
Yes.
And it's right-wing authoritarian way of thinking. What's sick is that it works for a lot of humans who are like, oh, dear leader, I will not oppose you.
Right. So, look, Trump is also guilty of this. I mean, they haven't banned imagery that pokes fun at him yet. But, you know, his White House currently has numerous pictures on the wall. Like right after the inauguration, there were images of the crowds on the walls of the White House. And so I forget which reporter he was talking to, but a reporter was talking to him and the like he couldn't get enough of the pictures of his inauguration. He's like, oh, look at the crowds, look at the, you know, and it's all false because we know that the crowd wasn't as large as previous crowds with previous inaugurations. It's just creepy and weird, and it's insane to see people, especially men in such high positions of power, having such thin skin and wanting to have their egos stroked so badly.
You know what they sound like, Anna? Special little snowflakes.
Yeah, definitely.
And Trump is the maybe the specialist of them all. He doesn't yet have the power that Putin and Erdogan do in their countries. But SNL makes fun of him. He loses it, can't stand it. Earlier today, I did a story about how Bannon, Steve Bannon's losing power inside the White House because SNL portrayed him as the real president. Uh-huh. And I got so under Donald Trump's skin. Alec Baldwin mocks him, does that thing, right? And Trump is like, SNL, you're so not funny, I hate you. Like, and he threatens CNN all the time. Another story in the press today about how after one of the presidential debates, Trump sent Zucker a threatening note about how I made you and I'll remember my enemies and you know that I always get even. A guy who's going to be president, like, could you imagine if Obama sent a note to CNN saying, I'll get even with you guys? What? That would have been unimaginable. But since Donald Trump is an authoritarian, thin-skinned, clownish snowflake, he does that all the time and we've now gotten used to it. Mm-hmm. And what's really sad is his followers who are like, oh, dear leader, take my banana. You're right, no one should ever insult you or in any way make fun of you, dear leader. Look, man, the reality is, who cares what others think? I mean,
dude, these are the same people who get angry about political correctness. Think about that for a second.
Of course.
They're so angry because they don't get to use the N-word freely. And they're like, snowflakes. Why? They just need to deal with it.
Yeah.
But then what about your leader who gets really sensitive about anyone mocking him? You don't think he's a snowflake? I don't get it.
There's about a million caricatures of me online. And a lot of them not flattering.
Yeah.
It rolls right off my back. I'm like, all right, dude, put more marketing. I don't give a shit what you think about me.
Yeah.
So, but when it comes to their leader, the specialist snowflake in the entire blizzard. Oh, there it is, so precious. Yeah. All right, we gotta go. All right, so for, like I said, in the post game, I will tell you common causes reaction to my segment today. If you remember, tytnetwork.com/join. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.